What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports, wacky ass hijinks, and analysis. Adam, how's it going, sir?
It's going very well, Graham. Going very, very well.
That's good to hear.
You know, I was doing my, my standard show prep.
Sure. So it's a very in-depth process that requires years and years of training and concentration in order to perfect.
Pretty much me sitting on the futon with my phone in front of my face, scrolling Twitter real quick, seeing if anything exciting happened. Then I went to TalkingChop.com, read an article.
Very advanced.
AJC, read an article. But what I was getting excited about during all of this was not having to talk about the Falcons.
Yeah, it's nice. We actually have some news that's happened this week. Bad and ambivalent, I would say, would be my two reactions to these two news stories we're going to spend the bulk of the show on today.
Well, don't jump the gun here, Graham.
Oh, sorry.
You can't get into the headlines that quickly.
Okay, sorry. I'm screwing up the preamble.
I wanted your thoughts on not having to talk about the Falcons.
Oh, it's a blessing. It's one of the great privileges of today. Yep. You know, they say seize the day is one of those commonly used terms, carpe diem, if you will. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those moments we should seize and be very and really take advantage of the fact that we don't even have to mention the Falcons after this brief detour we're taking here.
Because I've noticed that the past really like 3 months, these podcasts have just been bitch fests.
Yes. We were talking about on the phone last week. We're like, we got to do something. We got to do some different kind of segments as opposed to us just bitching about this because this shit's getting stale real fast.
Well, segments are fine and dandy. They're not our forte.
No, not our bread and butter.
But I think we can, you know, just hit the facts, give our opinions, have generally positive outlooks on life in general. And I sense with this first headline, it's not going to go that way.
No.
For either of us, probably. But let's just go ahead and take our usual roles where you can be Mr. Negativity.
All right.
I'll try to put a positive spin on things, and let's see where it takes us.
Sounds good. All right, let's open up with the depressing news, as become accustomed on this show every fucking week. Josh Donaldson is officially no longer a free agent. He has signed a 4-year, $92 million deal with the Minnesota Twins.
First of all, before you go too much further into it, I feel like for people listening, that's going to sound like that opening was like recorded at a different time because of the dark transition you had there.
Sure.
I like it, Junior.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. So, yeah, 4-year deal, $92 million to the Twins with a 5th-year option that I believe is worth something around $16 million. That's a team-based option. This was not that shocking considering I felt like this had lingered too long in order for the Braves to get the deal done, especially since they were considered to be the favorites. So it was like, you know, we had heard for a couple weeks now that the Twins, the Nats, and the Braves had all made offers in some form or fashion. And that the Twins were in the $80 million range, I believe, was the last thing we reported last week. So I wasn't, I wasn't totally shocked that he went to the Twins because I figured we're cheap asses and didn't give him as much money as he was requiring. But the thing that really blew my mind, Adam, do you remember how to do long division?
Oh, man. Let me get this notebook out now.
Okay. So I want you to do a long division problem for me that can really magnify the consequences of this and make us even more upset than we already are. Okay. So I want you to divide 92 and 4. Is that 92 divided by 4.
Is that one division?
Yeah, so do the draw the thing there, put the 4 outside. So 4 goes into 9 how many times?
4 goes into 9 2 times.
Right, so that's 2.
So then you do 2 times 4, right?
Right.
That's 8. 9 minus 8 is 1.
Right, put the 2 down.
Oh, you carry that down?
Yeah, you carry that down.
Okay, oh.
4 goes into 12. 3 times. So that's $23 million a year that Josh Donaldson's going to be making with the Twins. How much money did the Braves pay Josh Donaldson last year
$23 million.
So what the fuck? Why can't we match that? And it just doesn't make sense.
Do you really need to ask that question? Don't you know the answer,
Grant? Well, I know we're cheap ass ownership group, cheap ass ownership group paid Donaldson $23 million last year, and he was coming off a very injury plagued season where he did not deliver and was just basically brought in on his past accolades, and then he has an incredible season by all stretches of the imagination, one of the best third basemen in the league last season. Power, defense, on-base plus slugging, on-base percentage, hitting the shit out of the ball, exit velocity, and he still just gets $23 million a year. And we're sitting over here paying Cole Hamels' injury-prone ass $17 million a year. Why can...
There's a massive difference in paying... We're not just paying him $23 million for 1 year. You'd be paying him for 4 years.
Okay, yeah.
And paying him when he's like 38, you'd be paying him $23 million.
I understand that. It's a big risk. But you're not paying for that, Adam. You're paying for the chance to win a championship over the next two seasons. And if you have to bite the bullet at the last two seasons suck, then so be it, because at least you got the fucking championship. This organization is afraid to make a stand to be a true title contender, and it pisses me off, especially when this Truist Bank bullshit park thing gets announced that has revealed that the Braves will be getting Liberty Media will be getting $222 million alone off changing the name to Truist Park, and we are just sitting here without our cornerstone third baseman that was so huge for us last year, we're just blowing this window we have.
So many things you just said are factually incorrect.
That's not – everything I said was either opinion or a fact. Truist Park shit is true. Look it up.
That's not a new deal. That's the same deal that SunTrust had. They're getting $10 million a year from that. It's the same deal. They had rebranding rights in the whole deal. So that deal's not changing. It's just you realize that it's happened.
Well, yeah. Okay, fine. Whatever. Regardless, so you're still getting excess $222 million.
But they've already had that, and that's over like 23 years?
It's still 2032 or something like that. It's over 10 years. You're getting $222 million in 10 years. You don't think you can throw a little bit of money to your stupid baseball team? They just spent $1 billion to buy Formula One racing or whatever.
You realize that already they're going into the year with the highest payroll in the history of Atlanta Braves.
And that's fucking pathetic. $130 million in today's day and age for baseball.
You just won't be.
I will not be satisfied until this organization under Liberty Media proves that it wants to be a contender, and they do not with moves like this.
If at the beginning of this offseason or last year when you were bitching about the payroll, if I said, hey, next year the Braves are going to have the highest payroll they've ever had in franchise history, what would you have said?
I would have said, what's the context? That we have Nick Markakis and Adam Duvall going to be platooning in left field to be our fucking cleanup hitter? That Travis d'Arnaud is going to be hitting fifth? Then I would say this is bullshit. And it is. It's absolute bullshit. Now, there is time for Anthopoulos to remedy this, but the options out there aren't great. Talking to Nick Castellanos, who's solid, but nothing special, and he's a terrible defender. Marcelo Zuna's over the hill in the outfield.
Oh, I don't think that's a fair statement. He killed us in the playoffs.
Well, everybody kills us in the playoffs. We're fucking loser birds.
Think about what Donaldson did in the playoffs versus what Ozuna did.
Yeah, but Donaldson had a bad – granted, he had a bad postseason, but who would you rather have on your team?
My problem is, I mean, I honestly like some of the – look, I said the exact same thing last week that you just said. I agree if you have to pay him the 4 years, you have to do it if you want to win a championship. And realistically, you get two good years out of him.
Right. But if you win a championship, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
Even if you win a playoff series, it's
worth it. It's just like the Astros cheating. They cheated, but they won a championship.
Right.
So they had to fire their manager and have all sorts of shame, but they won a championship. So
yeah.
It's worth it. If we cheat our way to a championship,
so be
I'm happy about
right.
it, okay?
Just don't get caught. don't be wearing – I was hearing on the radio over here that Jose Altuve was wearing like a some sort of pulsing thing, and that they would send you know, it would like vibrate three times or twice for whatever the pitch was going to be. So change up and go like boom, 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 boom.
That is next level.
That's dubious. That's dubious as hell.
I mean, that's like – I feel like they should lose their franchise.
They should
that deep.
They should get
like just losing a manager. That's not enough.
No,
Copy is banned from baseball for life. For what? Some international
scandals
that no one gives a shit about.
Right.
None of those players we lost are anything. By the way, someone did an article about Kevin Maiton and he sucks.
Yeah, everybody thought he was going to be the
next
Miggy Cabrera. You know, based off the peripherals, I saw.
Right. So that's kind of funny. But poor Copy basically put our entire team together right now. Like, every good player we have came from copy of Frank Wren.
That's not true.
Give me a player.
Will Smith, who we just signed in the offseason.
Okay, well, now you're excited about the money we spent in the offseason.
No, I'm happy with what we've done in the bullpen. We have one of the best bullpens of baseball on paper, which is great.
Well, if they didn't do that, do you think that they would have spent more money on Donaldson?
We'll never know. But either way, I'd have to bitch about it because I'd be like, well, now the bullpen is not where it needs to be. Yeah. So there's no satisfying me. No. But if I had to pick, I'm going to pick having a guy who's playing every day, who can make a major impact, who protects Freddie Freeman, and who brings a lot of swagger and leadership to the clubhouse, which we have just lost.
Well, we had him last year. Remember how much our bullpen sucked at the beginning of the year, and what were your opinions back then?
No, we didn't. But we could have done – but the thing is, Adam, is that we could do more. This ownership group has enough money to give us the ability to be contenders, especially with the talent we have. You know how much money Ronald Acuña is making this upcoming year?
And that much, that's why you need to overpay.
$1 million for a top 10, 15 player in baseball. Mm-hmm. Who could be a top 5 player. Who could be the best player in baseball in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So surround him with talent and win a fucking championship. Not that we don't have talent, but you know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like we never want to go for it. We're pussies. We're total wimps.
What if
Cole Hamels, $17 million? Come on.
I mean, that's whatever. Like I said, that's a 1-year deal. That's why
you're overpaying. But it's for just him. It's still just.
I mean, that's spending money.
It's overpaying a guy who's had incredibly injury plagued seasons two of the last three seasons.
Us having, I mean, that's what you said about Donaldson last year after he was injured for 1 year.
He was
healthy.
Yeah, but the entire this is the last. That. Sorry, it wasn't two of the last years. Three of the last four that Hamels has had oblique issues or some issues with his lower body.
Us paying $17 million for Cole Hamels, that's not a big risk at all. Like, that doesn't affect us signing Josh Donaldson for 4 years.
I don't know, with this mid-market bullshit team bullshit budget we have.
It does, because they didn't want to do long-term. That's their deal. If Donaldson...
Then you better have
they would have signed Donaldson for $35 million for one season if he would have taken that
Jesus.
Deal.
Jesus. I mean, you better have a damn good contingency plan.
Well, they don't. That's the problem. They, I mean, had they known that they... I think they were very confident that they were going to sign Donaldson. Otherwise, they would have made a move on a Moustakas or someone like that.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe they could have thrown money at Rendon. But I think they were fairly confident that Donaldson would come back. I didn't think it was going to Minnesota.
No.
Minnesota's not going to win anything. Well, I understand they're good now, but come on. It's Minnesota.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you see Minnesota winning a championship and anything?
No, because their pitching staff is deficient. It's like I said.
They're worse than we are.
Well, it's like
Do they have any championships? Yeah. In any sport.
Yes. The Twins of 91 Fox, World Series, they beat us.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think they won some World Series before that as well. But the thing...
It's not the 90s anymore. We've won one more recently than them.
Correct. The thing that blows my mind about the Twins going after Donaldson was that they already led the league in homers last year. It's not like they were, you know, looking for... You know, they were lacking for power. But they come in and get Donaldson, and they still have shitty pitching. So, you know what? Whatever. That's their... cross to bear. I'm not going to get into the Twins pitching staff, for Christ's sake, but we have time before pitchers and catchers report. Deals can be made, but I mean, like, the options on the table, like I was saying, Castellanos, solid offense, bad defense. Ozuna, bad defense, solid offense.
I heard somebody talking about this. Ozuna's defense is bad. It's like highly over publicized and kind of fake news.
That's what I've heard from the advanced metrics, but who knows. But regardless, these guys are not going to be able to match Donaldson's numbers offensively as a whole. Like, Ozuna still has some power. He hit 29 homers, but in terms of the on-base plus slugging and on-base, he's not nearly as great as Donaldson is, and you can't replace that defense at the hot corner. I mean, it was outstanding. And now, so the other options is try to trade for Chris Bryant, but that's open up a can of worms. You got to give up prospects, depending on how his grievance shakes out with the Cubs that he's been bitching with them about in terms of how he thinks he manipulated his service time. He either has 1 year left on his contract or he has two. You trade for Nolan Arenado. We know his splits from Coors Field aren't great. He is an extremely talented player, and
he's the best defensive third baseman.
Yes, in the game. He is the best defensive third baseman in the league. But he's got a 7-year, $240 million with an opt-out clause after this year and next year. Not this year, but I'm saying over the next 2 years. So it's like, but you know, if you go after Bryant or you go after Arenado, You have to give up a shit ton of prospect capital. So it's just like, what are we going to do here? We can't go into opening day like this.
Here's where I'm
offensively.
At well,
or defensively.
2 points. So A, we can go into opening day like this.
I mean, you can, but you admit that you don't want to win anything.
And I'll be honest, because if you're going into opening day like that, what you're saying is, okay, we believe Camargo or Riley. I mean, because that was the plan last year when we signed Donaldson for 1 year.
The bridge to Riley.
The bridge to Riley. So it means you're either believing in one of those guys or you're ready for Drew Waters or Poche, basically.
Right.
So the problem with signing Castellanos or Osuna is if you sign them to multi-year deal, then you're blocking one of those guys.
Well, the thing with Castellanos is he's going to also play third base.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he'd be blocking Riley.
Shit. Well, I like that a lot more. I didn't realize he could play third base. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a different story then.
But he's not, like I said, his defense is subpar. So.
But I'd be more okay with that because, I mean, that's why I feel better about a Markakis Duvall platoon than a Riley Camargo. Offensive potential. You're going to have one.
No, I would disagree with that personally.
For right now term?
Yeah.
You're also an Adam Duvall hater, so
take that. Just look at the track record. I'll admit it. I mean, I like Duvall, but I don't think he's an everyday player or even a platoon player. He's like a bench guy at this point. And he's poor on base, poor plate discipline, strikes out a shit ton, plays okay defense, and can run to a ball 30 times a season.
We need home runs.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're not going to get into the Duvall thing again.
No.
But.
And then Markakis. It's like, I love Markakis, but Jesus Christ, when can we let this go? He's just a.
When Poche and Waters are ready.
Right, and we have no idea when that's going to be.
Well, they're saying summer 2020. Which is this year, Graham.
It is.
But I'm all in on this Arenado thing now. Because, all right, we haven't traded a single high top level prospect. Eventually, you got to do it. And if there's a guy you're going to do it on, it's Arenado.
Yeah.
If you can work out, apparently there's, Bowman was talking about this today, apparently there's something they can do with that opt-out clause in the trade agreement where he would agree to get rid of that in his contract.
All right, now we're talking.
So that would be a different story. So then, and the trade he put together for it was Drew Waters.
Okay.
Ian Anderson.
That hurts.
Ender.
Fine.
And then some double-A pitcher I hadn't heard of that apparently has high closer potential.
Anderson's
De La Cruz, I think.
Okay.
I
think he's seen a little bit of major league action.
But dude, that is worth it for Arenado.
It's tough parting with Anderson, but you got to give up something to get something.
And if you got him locked up for the next 7 years, that's not a Mark Teixeira trade.
No, that's
even if a couple of those guys turn out to be great, we need a damn third baseman behind Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, well, we need a power guy behind.
Because now we're going to get back into. What, do you put Acuna back in the cleanups?
No, you keep him in the leadoff. We know that's where he succeeds the most.
So who's our cleanup hitter right now?
It's either Markakis or Duvall, which is horrible, but that's just the way it is.
Why can't Freddie be a cleanup hitter?
It's just I don't know. I mean, he could be, but who you hit third?
You go
Markakis.
You go no. You go Acuna, Dansby, Albies, Freddie.
Dansby. Say that again.
Acuna,
Dansby,
Albies.
Albies third. Interesting. Okay.
Freddie.
It's a lot of speed at the top of the order.
Dansby in the two hole was nice for at the beginning of the year when he was raking.
Yeah, it could be. That could be interesting.
I think that gives you a little more roster flexibility, yeah. Graham.
You know, away from Coors Field last year, Arenado slash 277, 346, 521, 867 on base plus slugging, solid numbers, but
yeah.
At home he's just a monster. 351, 412, 645, 1057. Home runs were actually pretty even, 21 at home, 20 on the road, so who knows? I mean, you got to think that with a guy that is as talented as he is, that he would eventually adjust. And obviously, I don't think he's going to hit 351 at SunTrust Park with a 645 slugging. But that is a guy that we've seen time and time again produce at a high level. And if there's one person to go all in on that you actually have an opportunity to do so, it's hard to argue against it. You're still a little leery of the splits, but fuck it. I mean, it would shed this identity of the Braves not going for it and being sort of, you know, trying to win on a budget and being like, eh, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that, but never really, really going for it. So
I feel like it's time. Like,
no, I mean, like it to happen, but with this organization's track record, I don't foresee that. I would be absolutely shocked.
I don't know if that,
like, shocked if that happened.
To me, that doesn't, I mean, but I guess a big part of the deal is that you're taking on so much money. So it's kind of like the Giancarlo Stanton, where the Marlins, like, really didn't get what you would expect out from prospects in that trade, but it's taking up all that money.
Right.
Because, like, to me, and that, like, the proposed deal, Drew Waters, you still have Pache.
Right, exactly. So he's, you know, he can be sacrificed.
Ian Anderson.
That's a hard one to swallow.
Yeah, it's one, but he's not.
He's probably the best pitcher in the system.
I don't think he's not a Mike Soroka-esque prospect, is he?
Oh, yeah. No, he's like creme de la creme. He could be the next Strasburg, Scherzer kind of guy.
I haven't heard those names thrown out with him. I mean, I understand he's a great prospect, but.
And who knows? He's not a known quantity.
We're starting to see the old adage that a lot of prospects don't pan out is so true.
No, but he's been very good. And it would be really hard for me to get rid of him. But I would understand the move
in this scenario. When's he going to be ready to be really good? Is it this
year?
Could
be this year, yeah. Well, if not this year, then definitely next year. He's knocking on the door.
Like you said, for a player like Arenado, that's a sacrifice I'm really willing to make. Because at the end of the day, you need, in the playoffs, you got Soroka,
Freed. Hopefully we'll pitch more than once in a fucking series.
Right. But you don't need all these arms. You need three great arms.
Yeah.
Which we potentially could already have in our rotation.
Soroka profiles to be the best right now. Fulte, you don't know what you're going to get. If he's going to be Jackal or Hyde.
Freed's a damn bulldog.
Freed is a bulldog. I want to keep watching his development. I think he burned out a little bit last year at times, but that's expected because he's a youngster.
Don't sleep on Newcomb this year.
Who knows what happened with Newcomb. So.
Point is, I think that we have the arms in our rotation right now where we could win a playoff series and go further.
Maybe. You don't have the offense, though.
Right. That's why I'm saying Ian Anderson, I'm fine trading for Aaron Arenado.
Nolan, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the hell his name is.
And you have intimate experience with Nolan Arenado. He's been on your fantasy baseball team, I think, the last 4 years.
Yeah. He's a stud. You plug him in every day. Well, he's going to get you 2 to 3 home runs a week, driving a lot of runs. I recommend it.
It'd be interesting to see if that happens, but I would not get. I would tell everyone not to get your hopes up.
No, yeah. That's why I'm saying realistically, I honestly would not be surprised if we go into the season with what we have now and then explore the trade market.
I'm going to be so salty if that's what
happens. I know you're going to be, Graham, but, like, this exploring the trade market thing, that they like to make improvements in season.
There's another guy that
that way you give you do give the in-house guys an option to prove themselves. And, like, what if Austin Riley comes out raking?
He definitely could. And every single time that he's, you know, advanced up a level, you know, single A, double A, triple A, majors. Well, majors is yet to be seen, but he comes out hot and then he sort of slows down and people adjust him. And it takes him longer to adjust. And if his track record is indicative of anything, is that eventually he adjusts back and becomes really good. So hopefully,
right. So,
and we've seen what he can do.
Yeah.
And obviously he can't keep up that pace that he was doing when he first came up, but there's no reason to shut the door on Austin Riley or to not think that he cannot be a great player. He certainly can be. We don't know.
So that's the patience argument, Graham.
That's the patience argument.
Like, with our bullpen and, I mean, just having three great hitters in your lineup, you can probably win a decent amount of games to stay in the race.
Sure.
See what Camargo and Riley do. And if not, if it's not working out, then you go ahead and pull the trigger on a huge trade.
So one guy that a lot of people aren't talking about is Matt Chapman of the Oakland Athletics, who could potentially be offered up in a trade. He's not, you know, the most, you know, the purest hitter or anything. He's only had 2 years in the majors, but he did hit 36 home runs last year, had over 500 slugging percentage, 342 on base, pretty solid. Hit 249, but, you know,
whoa,
batting average is not the, you know, the end all be all. Donaldson only hit like 255 last year.
Okay.
But the other things, the slugging and the on base plus slugging and just his, you know, and the power were, you know, why he was one of the main reasons why he was so good. He would just hit the bejesus out of the ball when he did make contact. So that's a guy that you probably wouldn't have to give nearly as much for Arenado for. You don't have to pay him as much and could be a viable replacement. Now, I don't know if the A's are wanting to move on from him considering they just made the postseason. He's under team control. Like I said, he's entering his third year. But might be something to at least kick the tires on.
Sounds more realistic than
Arenado. Yes, exactly. So in terms of more realistic trade scenario that might actually pan out and not be, you know, having to sink money into an older guy like an Ozuna or like a Castellanos. This is someone that, admittedly, I don't know a lot about, but just from following baseball, I know I kept hearing about Matt Chapman, you know, throughout the season. He started off really hot in March and, you know, had a pretty solid season overall. Training? He had 22 at-bats in March. I mean, the season started in March.
Okay.
Yeah. So, sort of faded down the stretch a little bit, had a rough September, but I think this is a nice young player that you don't have to give up nearly as much for, and you won't have to pay as much, who could provide a similar level to Donaldson, maybe not defensively, but offensively at least.
Well, I'm pretty sold on Arenado at this point, Graham.
Oh, I mean, once he gets in your head, it's hard to let him go.
I'm just sitting here thinking, I mean, he's like the one guy who's like a better offensive option than Donaldson. Probably better defensive option.
He is better defensively and offensively. He is, you know, if he can, you know, provide the kind of...
He's a bona fide superstar.
Yeah. Man. If he can provide the kind of statistics that he was doing at Coors, or at least close to it, then you're getting...
It seems like a no-brainer. Like, I would trade even more than that. I'd throw in Kyle Wright.
Jesus Christ. Slow down. You give up the farm.
The last 4 years I've been, I don't want to trade any prospects. All of a sudden, I'm sick of prospects.
Well, eventually you gotta do something. You got to do something that you think that's a calculated decision that you think will put you over the top, and the Braves haven't done that
in
a long, long time. I'm not saying just you go arbitrarily waste money, but we need to – the ownership needs to show the fan base that really came out in support of the Braves, especially last year, that they are serious about winning a title, and with the rosters currently constructed, they are not doing so. And they pissed off the fan base by not bringing back Donaldson at the same rate they paid him last year, even though I know it's for more years, it's still – doesn't make you look good. And it's not about PR. It's about trying to win. But right now, this roster can't win.
The $92 million was really left because Donaldson was looking for $110.
Right.
So the $92, I was very surprised that we weren't around there.
Does anyone know where we were? What we offered?
That'll never get out. I mean, it must have been...
Had to be well under
that. I would guess 80.
Right.
Or less.
Or 75.
Or maybe just really not willing to go to that fourth year. Like, it was reported we're going to the fourth year, but it was also reported the Twins are out of the running. So.
Right. So who the hell knows?
Yeah. So it was probably just not willing to go to that fourth year. And the Twins were actually, they got a fifth year option in there as well.
Right.
Which makes more sense. He can DH all the time as well.
Right. And that adds some comfort, certainly.
That's a kicker. And apparently he loves hitting in Minnesota.
Mm.
Jim Powell was talking about this when they were up in – when the Braves were in Minnesota this past year. Donaldson hit like a walk-off home run, just raked the entire three-game series. And he had mentioned to Jim Powell how much he loved – like that was his – he said his second favorite ballpark to hit in.
The ball does fly there.
Yeah, so I'm sure that played into it as well. I don't know. I'm all over the place on my emotions. Like, obviously, Arenado is a pipe dream. Now that we talked through it a little bit, I don't hate the patience route. It's a long season, Graham.
Yeah.
And if Riley, I need to see Riley, see what he does in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what you do. If you can get Ozuna or Castellanos for like a 2-year deal, maybe.
Ugh.
if you sign him longer. But I just don't want to block Waters and Pochet for one of these guys.
Yeah.
I think they're fine hitters. They're not superstars. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe we're more of a bullpen team this year. I don't know. Who knows, Graham? Maybe this is Dansby's year. He raked in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. But it was a wild week in terms of Braves.
I'm glad it's done, though. I'm glad that some things done.
It was just
I was sick of the waiting
game. It was getting nerve-wracking just checking Twitter and Talking Chop and various other outlets every day, just being like, well, what the hell's going on?
How dumb, to change it up a little bit, the Truist Park thing. Like, I'm not surprised that it's called Truist Park. Like,
that's fine.
It's the most obvious option. But the fact that they did
Can we provide some context for people that might not know why it's Truist?
You think people that listen to this podcast don't know? All right, go ahead.
Because I think this might clear up some people's anger, potentially, if they don't know. To a degree.
Are you just wanting to explain the fact that SunTrust changed their name to Truist?
Well, SunTrust merged with BB&T to become Truist.
Right.
Sort of like how First Union and Wachovia combined to make Wachovia all those years ago, and we were obsessed with that for some reason.
Because these bank mergers are ridiculous.
Yes.
They pay some marketing firm God knows how much money to just come up with, like, I'm sure they pay, like, it was First Union. Yeah,
First Union. Oh, sorry. First Union and Wachovia have combined to make Wachovia. Yeah.
I'm sure someone got paid like $1 million to say, just keep Wachovia.
Right, sure. This tested really well in our focus.
Yeah.
Right, but the name Truist, so it makes sense that since they're a Truist bank now, that it would be called Truist Park, just like SunTrust with SunTrust Park. However, the name Truist is so bad, I don't know what that means. Like, what is Truist?
Well, it's a made-up name.
Well, I know, but like...
But what is Wachovia?
At least it sounds...
That's just because you've heard it.
Right.
If Truist...
But it makes But Wachovia doesn't sound like another word. It sounds like it's its own entity.
Wachovia is a completely ridiculous word.
It is, but it sounds cool. Wachovia. Truist sounds like you're trying to say true, but you got a speech impediment.
Truist is a word as well. That's the
most... Truist, T-R-U-E-S-T.
Yeah.
But this is T-R-U-I-S-T.
If Truist Bank had existed for 50 years, it would just roll off your tongue. It's new.
I don't like it.
Yeah, because it's new.
If it was spelled the right way, I wouldn't feel as I wouldn't have such animosity towards it. But it's spelled like some new DC liberal spelling that's just like, oh, let's spell it differently so that we stand out. People will know that this is our brand. Fucking ridiculous.
You don't want to just name your company after a real word. Like, do we call... That'd be like us calling our podcast Table.
Our podcast is all real words.
But it's multiple words. If it's a single brand, you don't want it to just be Table.
Well, no, I know. That's not exciting. Well, just think of something else. It's just ridiculous. This is misspelling of the word.
But it's... They made that decision to call it Truist Bank, not based on the Braves Stadium.
No, this happened before the Braves Stadium was renamed.
Well, yeah, but it's renamed because SunTrust no longer exists. Right.
I would have been fine if it had been like Hank Aaron Field or Bobby Cox Field or whatever at Truist Park.
Well, that's what everyone was pushing for. But at the end of the day, like, if it were called anything except Truist... Like, they get brand recognition every time someone says Truist.
Yeah.
If it were called Hank Aaron Field, people say, hey, we're going to Hank Aaron Field. You don't even say Truist. So it makes complete sense why they did it.
Business,
but the ridiculous thing was that they did this grand reveal.
Like, it was going to be something great.
They set us up for, like, a week and a half.
Yeah.
And then there's these two losers on the stage.
Yeah, it's like, coming up at 11, the Braves' new park. And I was like, I'm not watching this because I know it's going to be Truist.
They're on a stage and they had, like, a cover over, like, the board.
Yes.
And there's, like, the new name of the ballpark is Truist Park.
It's like, oh, great.
Yeah, no shit. That's what got me. I get it's a stupid name. It sounds absurd.
Right.
I think we'll probably get used to it eventually. But
I'm just going to say I'm going to the Braves game.
Yeah. I might just stick with my Turner Field roots.
Sure. It's Turner Field too.
Yeah. I was never, I mean, SunTrust. I guess I got used to saying SunTrust.
I did too. The Trust.
You could just say go to the Battery. Go to
the Battery.
The baseball stadium at the Battery.
Sure.
How about that?
Yeah. And But people that just wanted it to be a pure name, named after someone, those days are long past. Everything's gets corporate sponsors now. There's hardly any. I can only think of four baseball parks that don't have any sort of corporate BS in them. It's like Fenway,
Yankee Stadium,
New Yankee Stadium, Wrigley, and Baltimore Camden Yards at Oriole Park. Well,
Wrigley's named after the owners,
right? But it's named after like people, or it's just. Yeah, it's named after people, and it's not. There's no corporate entity surrounding it or branding itself through it. It's like those days are long, long gone. You're not going to get that ever again. Tough shit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
I am. I just think it's a horrible name to name a bank. But what the hell would I know?
Truist Park.
Yeah. Just feels like we're. I don't know.
Sounds like that sounds like
it's like
one of the many names the Marlins stadium would be. That sounds like a stadium in South Florida.
Yes,
Truist Park.
Right. That would make more sense.
Like Pro Player Stadium. That stadium name changed 15 times.
Right. It's Dolphin Stadium, Pro Player Stadium. LeVon Hernandez throws a 12-inch fastball that's 12 inches outside. Whatever. Forget that part.
Okay.
I was referencing the Angel Hernandez game where he was calling balls like 10 inches off the plate that were, he called them strikes in the Braves.
Remember when LeVon Hernandez was a Brave?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Was that his last season? No, he like still pitched well with the Nationals.
Yeah,
like
that. Yeah. Anyway.
Good old days.
That's the Braves news for the week. At least we get to talk about, you know, the thing that people want to hear us talk about.
I think
even if it wasn't much bullshit.
I certainly enjoy talking about the Braves the most, Graham.
Sure. Well, let's move on to the Hawks, Adam. Hot off the presses today. The Hawks made a trade for Jeff Teague, bringing back old number zero in exchange for Alan Crabb and some other guy I don't remember off the top of my head. I think we picked up another player from the Timberwolves.
We did.
Yeah.
Graham is his last
name. Yeah, it's like Jalen Graham, I think. I never heard of him. Or
Jaden Graham. I saw he had a 21-point game at some point in his career.
Oh, that's nice.
It was a different team, though.
Yeah.
But
so
he's out of Virginia Commonwealth.
Oh, that's good. That's actually a decent basketball school.
Yeah.
So I like this move in the sense that it provides Trey some guidance. He also brings in some hopefully veteran leadership, even though I don't think Teague was really known as a leadership guy, at least when he was here. That was more Al Horford, Millsap. But it makes me wonder, and we talked about this on the phone earlier today, why didn't we make a move like this before to bring in a known commodity that could really contribute to the team and also provide leadership?
It's the Schlenk messed up, Graham. Schlenk thought all these young guys, and I think that's, I was going to link the Braves segment to the Hawks state segment. I think that's why I'm a trade guy now, because watching these Hawks, like all these prospects, they sound great. These young guys, like on paper, are phenomenal, but it takes time to develop, and I'm just sick of developing. I want some proven veteran players in. Yeah, the Schlenk thought that we could just roll out there with two rookies, a couple second-year players.
And John Collins.
And John Collins, a third-year player, and have the same success that we had last year. And it was a massive miscalculation.
Yeah, and I think to expect Trey Young.
Like Evan Turner? Come on, what the hell was that?
Yeah, he didn't do anything. It's really odd to me that we just thought Trey was ready to be the leader now in his second year. And apparently, according to Chris Kirshner of The Athletic, he had a good article today where he was talking with Torian Prince about, you know, what he thinks is going on in the locker room. And it was interesting to hear that, you know, Torian was like, you can't expect, you know, this 21-year-old kid to just be the ultimate leader.
He can be the best player.
He can be the best player.
That doesn't make you the leader.
Exactly. And he's got to grow into that over a number of years. I mean, you know, superstars like LeBron and Dirk Nowitzki. I'm just trying to think of just random people over the years, but I'm just saying they weren't immediately the leaders of their team. Even LeBron, when he went to Cleveland, it wasn't like, hey, LeBron, You're our emotional leader. He didn't become a head coach until he went to, well, until he was like 5-6 years into his role in Cleveland, where the coach didn't matter. I mean, Tyronn Lue wins an NBA championship, for Christ's sake. Point being that that was, you're exactly right, it was a miscalculation, and we really failed to bring in enough guys to be vocal leaders. And apparently, you know, Lloyd Pierce is struggling with this, according to this article, in the sense that he was having DeAndre Hunter try to break the huddle, and he was so quiet in what he was saying that everyone was just kind of like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Hunter?
Yeah. And like, it seems like you're just trying to put guys in positions that they're not ready to embody yet.
Well, I mean, think about us at 21, 22 years old. Could you get in a huddle of grown-ass men and lead them when you're still trying to figure shit out yourself?
No. It's a completely unrealistic expectation, and it's really one of the first times Schlenk has made a major misjudgment on his part. And I think people trying to crucify him now for that is a little ridiculous. It was a mistake, but let's not, you know, ignore the good things that have happened since he's come to the organization. You know, getting Trae Young, even though you could have had Luka, but Trae Young's still, you know, an excellent player. Kevin Huerter has really been churning out some great games recently. Yeah. Now that he's healthy,
yeah.
It's also, you know, even Cam Reddish is starting to show some life. You know, like 20, he was like the first rookie in NBA history earlier this week, I think, to score over 20 points and have 5+ steals in a game. So it's not like it's been a total misfire, but this season has resulted in us being the worst team in the league and also having an awful locker room, which sets an awful precedent moving forward into the future, because I assume Lloyd Pierce is coming back. I assume the majority of these guys are coming back. And now you're unfortunately going to roll over into the next season with this sort of sour taste in your mouth if you're a player on this team.
So I think that's, like, when I heard about this Jeff Teague trade, I didn't really understand it. Well, mainly from the Timberwolves' perspective. Well,
they just want to dump salary so they can make bigger trades to try and contend.
But Jeff Teague is on the last year of his contract as well, and we gave them an expiring contract too.
Right.
And
I think Teague's getting paid more money than Crabbe, because he's actually still a valuable
player. Crabbe was making a lot of money. That was why he was part of the deal to come to us.
Well, shows what I know then.
Yeah. But so it doesn't make sense. But I think from the Hawks' perspective, you do this pretty much to build some goodwill with the fans for this year and with Trae Young. Because that's my, I don't really care too much about the losing. Because, I mean, I had a pipe dream of making the playoffs this year. But at the end of the day, I understood we're still rebuilding. But all these reports about the locker room being shit and Trae Young being unhappy, that scares the hell out of me. Because we got our first potential superstar.
Since Dominique.
Yeah. And for him to not be happy and maybe just a couple years, his rookie contract will be up and he might want to go team up with 40-year-old LeBron. I don't know.
You never know.
But that scares me.
Sure.
So we need to start winning some this year and seriously sign some quality veterans next year to seriously compete, or otherwise this whole rebuild's been for naught.
Right. Or even if you don't quite compete next year, you're at least moving in the right direction. You're seeing the progress that we were seeing last year, you know, when everything in the second half of the year was just, you know, going bananas.
So hopefully we get that this year.
I mean, I'm not expecting that to happen this year, just because I think the season has been what it's been, and the locker room is deteriorating. But you're right. If you bring in the right guys in the offseason to start building up a better routine with everybody and a better, you know, rapport and chemistry. As the NBA season is a long, long season. You know, it is from October, and if you're in the playoffs, it goes till June. So, and even if you don't, it goes to April. You know, that's 6 months-ish. And, you know, and that, and if you're around guys that you're not either getting along with or it's not working out, it becomes, you know, it's hard to do your job. And that might be some might say, well, that's a pussy mentality, just do your job. But, you know, having a positive work environment is key to an employee's health and their success and whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter if it's basketball or boring-ass office job. And, you know, especially when it comes to high-profile athletics, you can't have guys that just feel like shit all the time. Go out there every day. And that's what's happening right now. And you can see it on the court. You know, it's like there is still good effort produced, but it's beyond a talent thing right now. This team just doesn't gel well together at this moment.
It's got to be really frustrating to be averaging 30 points for a team and have 8 wins, you know?
Yeah. When you think about it, yeah, Trey's going out there every day, getting a double-double, getting 35 points, 12 assists, and we lose every time. Even Herter is starting to have really good games where he's getting 23 points, 10 boards. You know, he's starting to become more effective rebounding, which has been really nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, if those two guys are gelling and John Collins does his thing, we're going to be okay in the long run.
Yeah, you just got to get through the season and
keep Trey happy, please.
Try to hit the reset button going into that.
Let's Ronald Acuna Trey Young and give him a contract like way before he's due for a contract.
Yeah.
Take care of him.
Yeah, and the interesting part is since Trey has been asked to be a leader, according to this Kirshner article I was mentioning earlier, like the message that he is trying to provide isn't landing with anybody, which I think is to be expected considering he's 21 and doesn't know what the hell he's doing from a leadership standpoint yet.
He's probably just...
And he's always been more of a quieter guy.
What about watching TikToks in the locker room after a game?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and pontificate on that.
You know what TikTok is?
It's some weird video thing that people are doing now, right?
Yeah, I learned about it from some 25-year-olds at Beaky's wedding.
Cool.
Yeah.
Does she feel out of touch now?
Very out of touch,
bro. But, yeah, I don't know about TikToks or any of that bullshit, but I do know what I'm hearing, and Kirshner has been, you know, a very reliable source this year in his reporting, is that the message Trey Young's trying to deliver is not working, and the fact that he's in that position, and this is my opinion now, the fact that he's in that position is not good.
I don't seem like Trey Young should have a message to deliver.
Because I think they're trying to force a role that they want him to take earlier than he's... sooner than he's ready to actually step into that role.
I get that, but
it's a bad idea by the organization, I think, to do that right now.
Yeah.
It's okay to want him to do that, but have someone mentor him, and hopefully that's what this Teague thing is going to, you know, help with. And Teague is still, you know, solid player, averages like 13 points, 6 assists a game, only plays like 19, 20, you know, the max he's going to play in a game is like 25 minutes.
I don't think he had a great role in Minnesota from, you know, my sources out there, Graham.
Sure.
It wasn't his type of offense. So he might excel being back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can find a way to get both of them on the court at the same time. I sure hope so.
I mean, I'm sure that could happen. But the other thing that's nice is that, you know, Jeff is familiar with Atlanta. He's familiar with the organization, even though a lot of the organization has changed since he left. But I really hope that he's able to take it upon himself to work with Trey some, even though for Jeff, this is probably, you know, a pit stop. He's not going to be here long term.
Well, maybe.
You never know, but we'd have to renegotiate. Yeah, we have to renegotiate with him. So there's nothing guaranteed. All I know is that in these next few months that we have left in the season now for the Hawks, because they're not making, you know, no chance in hell we're making the playoffs, can we see some progression and just not even the result on the court, but just the chemistry, not like winning or losing, but just like the feeling of togetherness that this team has. Can we hear better things about the locker room rapport and the chemistry moving forward? It doesn't have to change astronomically, but just something. Give me something.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can bring in more guys like that and start. And it'd be great if we could bring in somebody that is a veteran that's under team control for more than the rest of the season, to start to build that chemistry rolling over into next year so we can have some positive momentum moving forward. We really, really need that more than anything else. Fuck the wins, fuck the stats. We need a good locker room for this young core that is very exciting when they're rolling.
Just keep Trey happy.
Yeah. That is the key to all this.
What do you think that will you and I... Are we more likely to go to Hawks game this year or College Park Skyhawks game?
I definitely want to go to Hawks game this year. I haven't been. I think we need to put it on the calendar and just go do it. Right. We did watch College Park Skyhawks.
I want to go to a damn game after watching them. Bruno Fernando's down there now.
Oh, is he?
He played a couple games.
I would go. I mean,
Brandon Goodwin, kid.
You could probably sit wherever the hell you want. Yeah. Cheap drinks.
I realized today because I was like, what the hell did they build that? Because it looks like a really nice arena. But that, I think the Dream are playing there as well.
Okay.
Which makes a lot more sense for them to play there than at State Farm.
Poor Dream.
Where it just looks embarrassing.
Well, they'll also probably look embarrassing down there too, unfortunately.
Right.
Not as it's embarrassing.
More fitting. Won't sound as vacant.
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't sound vacant when the Hawks play there.
Sure.
Because even their fans like us aren't going to the game screen.
Yeah, there's just, I mean, I had a lot of interest early on in the season when we like started off like, you know, beat Detroit. We were like 2-1. And I was like, okay, like this team looks really good. And the Collins thing happened. They just killed everything. It would be really fascinating to know what would have happened if Collins hadn't gotten suspended. Hadn't gotten, you know, the whole HGH thing. Because it seemed like, even though now we're looking at this lack of veteran leadership and all this stuff, those first three games, and that's a very small sample size, but you look at the energy on the court.
They looked awesome.
They looked so much better with largely the same group they do now.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, going 8-32 will do to you. And losing your second best player will do to you. But it's, you know, would we be sitting here saying, oh, we should have more veteran leadership? It would be interesting to know how that would
change. They looked ready to go for this first
game. Yeah, it was. But, I mean, you probably still should have done that. But it's being magnified now because of the results on the court.
Sure. Yep.
So, I think that wraps up today's show, Adam. No need for any other talk about other birds.
I'm very happy. I'll say it now, but we haven't mentioned Dan Quinn once all episode.
Oh, man.
R. Head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Blood pressure rising.
To get out of Atlanta sports, very excited about these Tennessee Titans. Mm. That's my squad.
Okay.
I like what they bring to the table. Taking down Giants, running the ball, quarterback throwing for less than 100 yards.
He's thrown 15. He's completed 15 passes in the playoffs.
That's all he's needed to do. He's done. It's the best 15 completed passes you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Like he gets his big passes when he needs them. It's play action, mm-hmm. But Derrick Henry's a monster.
Derrick Henry's rushed the ball for like 60 times or something. It's just incredible.
I'm going to talk Falcons a little bit. I looked at a mock draft the other day.
Yeah.
Guess who they had us taking in the first round?
Some running back, I'm going to assume.
Yes, Swift from UGA.
No.
It's like, what are you doing? No.
That'd be the worst possible thing you could do.
Like, no.
I saw also someone suggest that we take the Wisconsin back in the second round. I don't know why people want us to take backs. Like, I'm not saying Ito Smith and Brian Hill are the answer because we haven't seen really enough of them to know. Everyone forgets that we still have Devontae, and who knows what's going to happen with him. Like, even though we have a horrible, horrible rushing offense.
I don't think it's because of our running backs.
No, especially our reserves. Because, like we said, when Hill gets the ball, he's shot out of a damn cannon. And he needs to be – he would be my default lead back next year because we better get rid of Devontae to save some cap space.
But if you get a Derrick Henry type, though, it's a game changer.
Yeah, but how many Derrick Henrys are there that can take that punishment and carry the ball that many, like get 30 touches a game? I mean, that's not
– We do need a Michael Turner, though.
I don't know what we know what we need. We need more help in the, and it's not going to matter if you have a Derrick Henry type if your offensive line can't block worth a damn, and you have a play caller who sucks at calling running plays. He was very predictable and antiquated in his play calling, which is what the Falcons have right now.
Well, sorry, I got into it, Graham.
On that note,
at least we still got Koo. Well, we better resign.
We better resign Koo.
If we don't resign Koo, I'm done.
You're done.
That's gonna be the last straw for me.
Wow.
There's no reason to not resign Koo. I'll say that much.
No, I think he earned it.
Yes.
I can't disagree.
Excellent.
Well, until next time, rise up, chop on, stay in brotherhood, unite and conquer, and remain true to Atlanta. Hospitamus it.
Hospitamus it.